All right, do you guys know what a roast is?
Oh, yeah.
What's a roast? Yeah, we're going to do that to Zach since he's not here. Yay! All right, I did warn him that I was going to roast him. And so I need to tell you a story. First of all, I was their teacher in high school, which means that I started teaching when I was like 12 because I'm really not that much older than him. So I was a high school teacher, and Justin Friedman played football. And he was totally buff, huge, great football player, mentally tough, would come out of a game with, like, you know, his pinky, like, dislocated. And I'd be like, oh, dude, like, you're all bloody and your pinky's messed up. Let's fix you up. He's like, oh, I can't feel a thing. So he's totally, totally rock solid in high school as a football player. But you know what? No offense. It didn't, like, transfer into his adult life. It's not like he's out playing professional football. He didn't go to college to play professional football. He still got married, you know, has a great wife, lots of kids, and his life turned out great. His awesomeness as a football player in high school didn't totally transfer to his adult life. Does that make sense? Yet he was really good in high school, great life now. Zach's athletic career in high school, he sucked. he was on my cross country team, and for 2 years, thank God it was only 2 years. 2 years, his sophomore and junior year, and he knows he knows I'm going to talk about this. Plus, if it's being recorded, he can watch it. Now, you got to keep in mind now that he's total like CrossFit stud, right? Which is good. In high school, he was running, and now sophomores usually run like JV, and then when you're your junior year, you run on varsity, because as guys, you kind of get your man body like somewhere in between your sophomore and junior year. Okay, so he's running, and he's running both years, mind you, and so he's in a race, and he's last, dead last. He's running like this. I mean, I'm next to him, like, as his coach, and I'm walking faster than he is. And I'm like, Zach, are you all right? Like, are you sick or something? Can you, like, pick it up? He's like, yeah, coach, smiling. Yeah, I can totally, like, pick it up. And I'm like, okay, great, let's, like, pick it up. He runs just fast enough to get one person. Now he's second to last in the race. Still jogging like this. And I'm walking faster than he can jog. So we get to the next loop in the race, and I'm like, you doing okay, buddy? Like, is everything good? You all right? He's like, yeah, coach, I feel great. And I'm like, great. Can you, like, pick off one other person? Yeah, sure. Catches up. Third to last. That was his stellar high school track career. Third to last. Every race. And we were like, well, at least he's, you know, consistent. So he did tell me, though, recently that he ran a half marathon and he didn't walk. He was really impressed. He goes, I ran the whole thing and I never walked, which for Zach's pace is like this. But he didn't walk. So that was his stellar career. But you know what? It did not define him as an adult. He still went on, became CrossFit trainer, all of that kind of stuff. It did not define him as an adult. Your athletic career, your academic career, your arts career, if you're in plays and drama, whatever it is you're into, will not define you as an adult. Okay? It doesn't matter. Like, if you're my age, no one cares how awesome you were in high school or college. They could care less about your athletic career. It doesn't define you. However, in the area of sexual purity, that will make a difference in your adult life. Hugely. More than you could know. Hugely. I'm going to show you something here. Some people have seen this. I'm going to light this. All right. In June 8th of 2002 to July 18th of 2002, Colorado had its worst wildfire in the history of our state. You guys were all born then. Probably don't remember it. It was the worst wildfire. And you know what it started from? Anybody know? It started from a note. It was a husband and a wife who were separated in an estranged relationship. She, the woman, wrote a note to her husband, getting out all the angst that she had towards him. Then she decided to light the note on fire and put it in a fire pit at a camping area. Left it there. It's not like she was totally irresponsible. She stuck it in a fire ring. Left it there. Only within that fire ring, there were some small little like pine needles, and it was really dry. And that note caught the pine needles on fire. And it made the Haman fire. Does that sound familiar? It made the Haman fire the worst fire in Colorado history. It was started by Terry Barton. It was the largest wildfire. It burned 133 homes, resulting in $40 million lost, not to mention $40 million in firefighting cost. She was attempting to burn a letter from her estranged husband. 5 firefighters died, 15 years of probation, and 1,000 hours of community service, knocked down from 16 years in jail. All because one note from a hurt relationship started the worst wildfire in Colorado history. I'm telling you this because in terms of your sexuality, most teenagers make their choices to be a virgin or not to be a virgin in your high school years. So from high school to your first 2 years of college, so freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, and then freshman, sophomore. Those 6 years are the most critical years of your life in terms of your purity, whether you decide to stay pure or not before marriage. This is the time. The problem is, and you've probably noticed this, that statistically, only 12% of families, moms, 12% of moms are talking about this sort of thing with their children, and only 5% of dads. So you have one of the biggest decisions in your life right now that you're in, and only 12% of the population is even talking about it. And yet, it's a lot like that Haman wildfire where it spreads and affects people that you don't even know. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk, I'm kind of going to be like an attorney. So I'm just going to try to give you a convincing argument as to why you should wait for sex before marriage. I'm not going to give you any anatomy lessons today. I'm just going to try to give you a convincing argument before we get started. And I want you to think back to the Garden of Eden and that tree. Can you get a visualization of that tree in the Garden of Eden, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Think of that tree in your mind. Casting Crowns has a tree on one of their CDs. Can you think of that tree that they have? And you need to do something. All God said to Adam and Eve was, do not eat of this tree, for it is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's all the direction he gave them, which kind of sounds like what our parents do, like don't have sex, and that's all they say. There's not a whole lot of whys. I'll tell you some whys today. There's not a whole lot of whys. Well, I want you to think of the tree of the good and evil as just sex before marriage. And God is putting that tree, and he's looking at you, and he's going, do you trust me? And he's not going to give you a lot of information, just like he didn't give you Adam and Eve a lot of information, right? That was part of the reason it was so enticing to Eve, is because it was forbidden. And that is why sex is so enticing to young people, is because deep down here in your center core, you know it's forbidden before marriage. And yet it's very enticing, is it not? And so think of that as your tree. God is looking at you and he's saying to you in this particular area of purity and sex before marriage, do you trust me? If you eat of the fruit of this, there's going to be consequences. If you don't, there's going to be rewards. But you're not gonna know at this age. And that's what makes it so enticing, is because it's forbidden. Anything that's forbidden, we're like, ooh, we just wanna touch it. When someone says to a little kid, don't touch the stove, what do they turn around and do? Touch the stove, okay? Same thing happened with Adam and Eve. So I think that's one picture that you wanna have in your mind. I'm gonna give you 2 visuals I want you to remember. The next visual is this house, okay? This is the house of marriage. Sex falls inside of the house of marriage. It is not the foundation. Loyalty is the foundation of marriage. If you're having sex before you get married, you've already rocked the foundation because you're not loyal, right? Other things that make up the house of marriage are integrity, respect, love, honesty, trust, honor, and communication. This is the house of marriage. This is God's design for sex within this house of marriage. Now, the cool thing is that God gave us a free will. Within that free will comes a great deal of responsibility. A great deal of responsibility. And because it's within this free will, you can choose to be a part of the game plan, or you can choose to not be part of the game plan. You can choose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you can choose not to. God does not force you any way or the other. Your parents are not in the room when the act of premarital sex takes place. Nobody's in the room except you and that other person. This is totally your choice. In fact, sex is a yes in the Bible. It's not a no. Sex for you right now is just a not now. Do you see the difference? So many people are like, oh, it's so bad, it's so bad. It's not bad. Sex is a yes. It was God's first commandment in Genesis. Be fruitful and multiply. Very first thing that came out of God's mouth. Sex is a yes. It's just a not now. Does that make sense? It's not a never. It's a not now. It's designed to be in the house of marriage. It's not a foundation of marriage. It's not a wall of marriage. It's not the roof of marriage. It is this magical bonding thing between two human beings that if you do it properly, like you only have sex with your spouse, you have this magical relationship that nobody else in the world has except the two of you. That's the plan. You can choose to be a part of it, or you can choose not to be a part of it. Now, this happens in athletics all the time. You can remember this from high school. I was an athlete, but I ran track, so it wasn't the same as like playing volleyball or basketball. And I was totally watching Notre Dame last night play Kentucky. Anybody watch that game? So I was watching that game last night, and you watch the coaches, and they're totally setting up these plays. And when it's executed properly, a basket scored, and, you know, Kentucky came back and won. And I was kind of secretly rooting for Notre Dame just because they're the underdog. And so I'm watching that game, and I think of all the times when you have this, if you're on an athletic team, whether it's baseball or basketball, and you have this renegade person who doesn't want to do what the coach is supposed to do, and that person's supposed to receive the pass and then pass it off to the all-star, and the all-star's supposed to shoot, but instead that renegade gets the ball and they shoot, and inevitably they miss, right? And now you lose the game because somebody wanted to do their own thing. Well, sex is a lot like that. God has this great plan, but if you want to be a renegade, like the athlete that wants to be a renegade, you have to be prepared to lose the game. Or lose some consequences. Okay, so I want to leave you with three visuals. The first visual is this right here. That visual is, keep in mind that one act, one not thinking, I didn't plan to have sex, one not thinking act led to a huge wildfire where there was death, destruction, and people were never the same after that happened. The second visual I want you to remember is this, that sex is within the house of marriage. It's not a foundation. So if you're having a sexual relationship right now, that's not a foundation to anything. It's not foundation to anything. And the third thing is the visual of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do you trust God? Because really, that's what it comes down to. It really comes down to, do you trust God or don't you? If you really think about it deeply, sex before marriage comes down to, do you trust God? Now, I'm going to give you a whole lot of convincing reasons why not to have sex scientifically, but it comes down to, do you trust God? Yes or no? That's the bottom line. Okay, let me give you some staggering statistics. All right, by the time the average high school student graduates high school, they will have spent 15,000 hours in front of the TV, and only 12,000 hours in school. This is the average. Children between the ages of 2 and 7 watch TV without their parents 81% of the time. Once they hit 8 years old, kids watch TV 95% of the time without anyone being present. I always feel like the commercials can be like the worst part. The average American kid will view nearly 14,000 sexual references per year. 14,000. Now this is a sexual reference right here. That includes one. But only 165 of these will deal with sexually transmitted diseases, abstinence, risk of pregnancy, and self-control. So now that's one out of 165. So you have 164 more positive ones, and yet you will view 13,999 more negative ones if we start right now. 50% of all programming on American television is found to contain sexual content between the hours of 8 and 9 p.m. Teenagers who watch a lot of TV that have sexual content within the TV show are twice as likely to engage in sex than those who don't. 20% of children have had intercourse before their 15th birthday. That's 1 in 5. 7%, oh, 1 in 7 of these sexually active girls will become pregnant. My next door neighbor is a labor and delivery room nurse. She works in Aurora. She 50% of the babies she delivers are from girls 19 and under. Half. 50%. Half of them. Sexually experienced children are 6 times more likely to drink, 3 times more likely to smoke, and 4 times more likely to use marijuana. Now, I bet that statistic has changed since marijuana is legalized in Colorado. 56 million Americans have one or more of the several known sexually transmitted diseases. When I started these talks 20 years ago, there were 30 sexually transmitted diseases. Now there's more than 50. There are more than 650,000 new cases of just gonorrhea each year and 70,000 cases of syphilis. 45 million people have chronic genital herpes and 1 million new cases are reported each year. Oh my gosh, I'm not even going to talk about sexually transmitted diseases, but that should be enough to scare you right there. Just that. The human papillomavirus, which causes genital warts and leads to cervical cancer, affects 20 million and 5 million people get it every year. 5 million. Okay, that's like the entire population of Colorado. All right? 50%, this is my favorite STD stat. You should have favorite STD stats. 50% of the new cases of sexually transmitted diseases in our country, 50, occur between the ages of 15 and 24. So that's you, congratulations. 15 to 24, okay? On Colorado State University, this is the only one I know, I'm sure it's the same at CU. On Colorado State University, out of the sexually active girls today, 1 in 3 have chlamydia. The first time you get chlamydia, you can take antibiotics to clear it up. The second time you get chlamydia, you're sterile. That's no babies ever. Ever. Just sexually transmitted diseases. That there should be alone. But remember, it really comes down to what? Do you trust God? Okay. So those are just some little STD bombshells. Okay? Here's some facts. You can get pregnant the first time you've had sex. Condoms do not protect you from sexually transmitted disease. A girl can get pregnant a couple days of the month, but you can contract an STD any day of the month. 1 in 4 sexually active teens already has an STD. 1 in 4. Okay? And condoms, right out of the package, are 10 to 20% not effective. Right out of the package. So if you were going to board an airplane today and you knew it had a 20% chance of crashing, would you still board it? 20%. Hey, it's all right. It's only 1 in 5. Okay? And birth control pills, there's girls that go on birth control just to regulate their menstrual cycles. That does not protect you either, because that's how I got pregnant. This is my beautiful daughter. I had a 1% chance of becoming pregnant with her. and it happened. So one, that doesn't mean I didn't want to, you know, I was surprised, but I'm eternally grateful to Jesus for bringing her to me. But I need to tell you some facts so that you are educated, okay? Condoms, you can still get pregnant using a condom. You can still get pregnant on birth control. Okay, that's a little precursor of what I want to talk about today. All right. We are going to talk about something called imprinting. This is some science behind why premarital sex is so dangerous for your brain. Remember, do you trust God? Well, if you are any sort of a scientist, I'm a biology teacher, science always backs up God's word. Always. Science backs up God's word. Okay. So I wanted to start off with one scripture. It says, "For the word of the Lord holds true, and everything he does is worthy of our trust." Do you trust God in this area? All right, so what we're going to talk about is some things that your body does scientifically. All right, this is called imprinting, and it's what Zach asked me to speak on. And this is from a science teacher's perspective. Remember, just alone, I mean, there's some kids in this room who have heard my talk on sexually transmitted diseases. I mean, that alone, you're like, whoo, after that, okay? That alone, and we didn't even go there, okay? We're not even talking about pregnancy. We're not talking about any of that. By the way, girls, if you get pregnant outside of marriage, you will live below the line of poverty until you're 30. Below the line of poverty. That's the statistics for unwed moms, okay? All right, the other thing I want, a precursor here is, remember, I'm going to be like an attorney here that's trying to convince you why not to have sex. I know that in a room this size, there's probably kids who have, and that is not the topic today. You have to know that God is a God of love and redemption, and if you have any idea of the story of the Bible, you know that he uses people who have messed up all the time. The kicker is you have to be truly, truly repentant. Okay? And if that is you, there'll be some time for ministry, and I can put you in touch with the right people to call if that is you so that we can get you some help. But that is not my primary purpose to be here today. My primary purpose is to talk to those of you who are on the fence in terms of your sexual purity or haven't made a decision yet. So I want to give you some convincing arguments scientifically. Remember, do you trust me should be enough, but sometimes it's not. So I want to give you some scientific background. All right, the first thing we're going to talk about is imprinting. Now, guys, this is huge for men. It's also huge for women, but it's extremely huge for men. Your mind will imprint on your first sexual experience. Now, by your first sexual experience, we don't just mean an easy kiss. We're talking about a more mature kiss or looking at pornography or self-gratification. And because self-gratification came out, that is why the numbers in here are low. Because that's a topic that nobody wants to talk about. Self-gratification is when you use your own hand to gratify yourself. Now, if that's you and you've done that in this room, you know exactly what I'm talking about, so I don't even need to go beyond that. If that's not you, if there's girls in this room that are like, oh, I'm not sure what that is, that's okay. This is how the Lord works. And I have a whole team of people that pray for me before I talk. If I say something that is a little bit, it'll go over your head and you will be ready for a little bit as you're older. But if I'm saying something that resonates with you, you know and I know that we're on the same page. So we're going to talk about three things when it comes to imprinting. We're going to talk about self-gratification and pornography. The scientific word for self-gratification is masturbation, but everybody likes self-gratification better, so we're going to use that word. Self-gratification is when you gratify yourself in a sexual way. Okay, and that will be the definition, and anybody who is experiencing that, we're already on the same page, so that's all that needs to be said there. If you're not experiencing that, and it goes over your head, that's all right. All right, a man will imprint on his first sexual experience. Now, if that first sexual experience is not within marriage, on the honeymoon night, 95% of the time it's out of lust, because love waits. Love is a choice. We choose to love. We love because God first loves us. So, guys, if your first sexual experience is outside of marriage, it's a lustful sexual experience because love waits. Love is tough. And we get love mixed up with a whole lot of other things. And so love waits. All right, here's what happens. You have a chemical in your brain called dopamine. You've probably heard of it before, dopamine. Dopamine is a chemical that your brain releases, and it's an imprint chemical. This is what happens when a mom gives birth to her baby. They imprint on one another, and that is why a screaming baby, you put it in its mom's arms, and what does it do? Stops. A screaming baby, and you put it in its dad's arms, and what does it do? Sometimes it keeps screaming, but sometimes it stops. You've heard of stories of kids who are reunited with their birth mother and birth father, and in a room, crowded room, they can pick one another out without having seen each other in 20 years. Your brain imprints, and the name of the brain, the name of the chemical that imprints is called dopamine. Now, dopamine works with another chemical called norepinephrine. Have you heard of epinephrine by itself? Your body makes norepinephrine. Norepinephrine is the chemical that your body makes. Have you ever been driving where you get that almost car crash and you get that little adrenaline rush? Okay, that's norepinephrine. Your body makes norepinephrine in a sexual experience on its way up. Your body naturally produces that on its way up. Now, those two work together. Because what happens is your brain dopamine imprints on whatever that sexual experience is, whether it's looking at a magazine of a scantily clothed girl on your phone with a scantily clothed girl, whether it is your own hand or whatever it is, your brain imprints on that. And it associates the release of norepinephrine with whatever that imprint was. Does that make sense? So now your brain imprints on this. Then it releases the norepinephrine. So in the actual sexual experience, it's the norepinephrine that starts to give you the feeling of a rush. Now, you can get norepinephrine from taking drugs, too. That's the rush feeling that people get. Mind you, pornography is more addictive than cocaine, marijuana, and any other drug out there. Pornography is the most addictive drug anywhere. They put a brain scan on patients who were addicted to cocaine and patients who were addicted to pornography. Guess who had the more crazy brain scan? The porn addicts. Pornography is more addicting. There's a great website called fightthenewdrug.org. Go check it out. Look at the science behind pornography. All right, so I have to use my notes because this is really scientific, and there's five chemicals that your body uses during a sexual experience, whether that sexual experience is really with a woman or if the sexual experience is with something else, okay? So what happens for men is if your first sexual experience is your own self-gratification, now your brain is imprinting on your hand. So now your brain assumes that it needs your hand in order to make the norepinephrine rush. Versus a female's body. Now, can you see the danger in this? Because now you've trained your brain to imprint on a hand and not a person. This becomes very dangerous. There's no personal connection to a hand. There's no personal connection to looking at a magazine or a woman. That's fantasy. Fantasy never works out. You watch a fantasy movie, that does not happen in real life. That's why it's called fantasy. Now you've created a fantasy in your brain with something that's not real, and you've trained your brain to respond to the fantasy. That's not real. Can you see the danger in that now? Now you can see why the numbers are down. Does that make sense? This is like heavy stuff. This is a heavy hitter. Okay? So now your brain is being trained to link these chemical releases to either a piece of paper, an image on your cell phone, an image on a computer screen, but it's not linked to a person. So now you've trained your brain to respond not to a person. This is why there's so many commercials out for Viagra and all of that kind of stuff. And guess when those commercials come on? They come on between the hours of 9 and 10, not when the old people are watching the 11 o'clock news. They come on between the hours of 9 and 10 because that's when the 20 to 30-year-olds are watching TV, and that's when they need to use it. Now, I have a friend who's a physician, and when I did all this research, I called him up, and I was like, are you kidding me? And he said, I kid you not, I have guys coming into my office. They are 21 and 22 years old. They've proposed. They're getting married, and they realize they can't work down there because they've been addicted to pornography and their own self-gratification since they were 15, and now they're trying to get married, and their body doesn't work right. See the issue there? That's dangerous. And that is not God's plan for sex, right? This is why I say science always backs up God's plan. You cannot fool your brain. You might be able to fool your body, but you cannot fool your brain. Okay, after a sexual experience, your body releases a chemical called serotonin, okay? Serotonin is what helps your body fall asleep. This is why if you've seen anything, like after in the movies, they show some kind of experience and everybody's sleepy, okay? Your body releases that. Now, people go, well, what's the problem? Well, here's the deal. If you've been self-gratifying for so long, guess what your body needs in order for you to fall asleep? The release of serotonin. How do you get the release of serotonin? Well, you have to self-gratify right before you fall asleep in order to be able to fall asleep. You see how dangerous this is? Now, most boys will self-gratify at least once between middle school and their senior year of high school, out of sheer curiosity. After that, though, you have to have some sort of stimulus. What becomes the stimulus? Porn. There has to be one. This is why this is so dangerous. And this is why people aren't talking about it, because who wants to get up and talk about this? Well, and you must say, well, why do you get up and talk about it? Well, here's the real truth. I have a heart for marriage. I want to see Christians have great marriages. I don't think marriage is meant to be miserable. Some of you come from fantastic homes. You've watched great marriages. Those are people who are working really hard to have great marriages. But I, in a room this size, there's people here who probably come from pretty lousy marriages. I have a heart for great marriage. The problem in marriage is that Christians are making the same mistake as non-Christians, and therefore the divorce rate is the same. Christian kids are having sex outside of marriage, self-gratifying, doing pornography, and therefore once they get married, they have the same statistics. Does that make sense? So in order for me, if I have a heart for marriage, I realized I had to start going younger and younger. Does that make sense? I had to start talking to teenagers because this is where the major mistakes are happening. This is where the wildfires are starting. Here. So if I can come and talk to you at this age and say, hey, man, four easy words. You ready? Keep your pants on. If I can convince you to do that, then maybe, just maybe, when you're 23 and 24 and walking down the aisle to get married, you can start on the right foot. Does that make sense? So we have this dopamine, which is the chemical that makes you bond to somebody. And if you're bonding to a piece of paper or to your own hand, that's no good. And then we have norepinephrine. That's the thing that gives you the rush during intercourse. And then we have serotonin, and that's what makes you sleepy and fall asleep. Well, if you're self-gratifying, now you're imprinting on all of those pieces of paper and your hand, and you're telling your brain, this is what you have to do to release those chemicals. You can't tell me that that's part of God's plan. Does that sound like part of God's plan? No. But the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. And he will use pornography to do it. Okay? The last chemical that your body uses is called protassin. Protassin works to stop all the other chemicals. Otherwise, you'd have this like eternal sexual high your whole life and nobody would ever go to work. Okay? So protassin works to stop dopamine. And dopamine is the chemical that gives you the imprint, and it helps to work to stop all that. Well, what happens is when you're having a normal sexual relationship, a husband and a wife, all these chemicals work together like they're supposed to. Because in that sexual relationship, the peak of it all is the scientific word called an orgasm. That's the peak of it. Okay? Now, in a self-gratification relationship with yourself, that will also happen, but not to the same degree. Your body does not release the same amount of dopamine, it does not release the same amount of norepinephrine, and it does not release the same amount of serotonin or protassin. Why? Because that's a false experience. It does feel good, but it's a false experience. It's not the same the way that God designed for every hair to, you know, jump up on your body and shout hallelujah. I heard someone say that once in a talk. So when you are doing it this self-gratification way, all those chemicals are not released to the same degree. So protassin, if you have this healthy sexual relationship, everything is up here. But protassin only releases about 50%. So guess what happens? Your body is like, oh my gosh, it's not shutting down. It's not shutting down because it's not releasing enough protassin. It's not shutting down. It's not shutting down. It's not shutting down. And so your body says, oh, well, you need more dopamine. You need more norepinephrine. So your body starts to crave those acts of fantasy because it's not getting enough of the chemical to serotonin to shut it down. So you're always craving for more. People in their peak of this are self-gratifying 3 to 4 times a day because they've now messed up the chemicals in their brain. See the issue? This is why this is so dangerous for boys. Now, if you do it God's way, then guess when your first imprint happens? On your honeymoon. So then, fellas, when your mind begins to wonder, what girl does it go to? Your wife. It's okay to think about her. She's your wife. That's who God made you. The Bible says, and the two shall become one flesh. And then it's okay because she's your wife and you are hers. Read Song of Solomon. I am my beloved and he is mine. Right? When your first sexual experience is on your honeymoon, you have now imprinted on a person. Now it's not fantasy anymore. See the difference? There's so much more to God's reasonings for sex within marriage than just what you see in a magazine or a newspaper or on a movie. The sexual experience involves your body, your soul, and your mind all at the same time. Your body, your soul, and your spirit all at the same time without you knowing it. It's one of the only things that you will do on earth that involves your body, your soul, and your spirit all at the same time. So when you have sex outside of marriage and it's just a body thing, your spirit pays for it because it was out of God's plan. When you have that relationship with someone, your soul is your mind and your will and your emotions. Your mind is involved in a sexual experience. It doesn't erase them. Your mind keeps track of all of your sexual experiences by taking a picture. That's what this imprinting is called. When you get married to your wife someday, you don't want to have to battle against your imprints from high school on that wedding day. Does that make sense? You can't fool your mind. You can fool your body, though. And so that's why it's so important. Not very, very few people are willing to talk about sex in terms of your body, your soul, and your spirit. And they're all involved in that process, and that's why God has this rule of just wait for marriage. It's a total yes, but just wait for marriage. Okay. For girls, you tend to imprint emotionally. You could still remember your first kiss, and you will still remember your first sexual experience. The issue is because pornography is not involved for girls very much, there's not a tie to something fantasy. Does that make sense? Pornography is fantasy. A girl will remember her first sexual experience because it was real. All right? Now, here's the issue for girls. Because a girl imprints emotionally, if that first sexual experience fails and the relationship ends, you now think that sex is nothing. So girls tend to believe that sex is either everything or sex is either nothing. This is not cool because boys think sex is just sex. It's not tied emotionally to them like it is for a female. A girl will tie sex to love. A boy is sex is sex. It's not tied to love unless it's inside a marriage, and then it is tied to love for a man. Outside of marriage, it's tied to lust because love waits. So for girls, you imprint on the boy emotionally, and so if the relationship ends, you think sex is nothing. So what's the big deal? It's nothing. Within the relationship, you think sex is everything because now you've tied sex to love. See the danger of that? Sex is not a foundation of a relationship. It's not a foundation of marriage, but yet you've just now imprinted in your brain that sex is the foundation of the relationship, and now you're going to battle between whether sex is everything or sex is nothing. Okay, so now let's put two human beings in a marriage relationship. This human being is a girl who had sex outside of marriage in high school and college, and in her mind, sex is really nothing, or sex is everything, she doesn't know which, is going to marry this guy who's been self-gratifying since he was 15 and into pornography. Now these two are going to get married. Can you see the trouble we're going to have here? There's going to be some trouble. And this is what's happening in the world we live in. Why? Because I think teenagers are some of the smartest people on the planet. I do. I love teenagers. I was a high school teacher for 13 years, and giving up that job was one of the hardest things I've done. Love high school kids. And there's a few people in this room that I know who know me and know, yep, she does. She loves high school kids. Very smart. But what I think is that not everybody tells you the facts. I feel like if I could give you a convincing argument, you could be swayed. I just think that not very many people sit down and say, here's the deal, man. If you're self-gratifying and looking at pornography, these are the chemicals in your brain that you are messing with, and you can't fix them that easily. This is why church, like our church, Faith Bible Chapel, has a sex addiction group, because we all know it's a problem. It's called Celebrate Recovery, and there's a part in there for alcoholics and a part in there for sex addicts. When they say sex addict, that doesn't mean they're addicted to sex. It means they're addicted to porn or self-gratification or something like that. Now, pornography and self-gratification in its worst form, hear me, in its worst form, when you have totally given yourself over to this self-gratification and sex addiction, and now you've opened yourself up to Satan himself, leads to things like the Jessica Ridgeway case. Y'all know about that story? That happened walking distance from my house. I don't know if you've read any news reports, but the boy that did that was 17, right? And guess what he was addicted to? Porn. Because nobody in their right mind does that to a child. But somebody who's living in a fantasy might. See the difference? Now, I'm not looking at you going, oh my gosh, if you like totally look at pornography, you're going to be the next Jessica Ridgeway killer. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying in its worst forms, that's what happened. That kid's dad was in jail, and he was a sex addict, porn addict. You see where this is going? These are hard conversations that people don't want to talk to, and that's why I get invited places to come and talk to them. Okay? Now, I'm going to pull in some scripture. I feel like I could set the Bible aside and be just as convincing. Because remember at the beginning I said science always backs up scripture. I mean, I could do this in public school situations and be just as convincing. I like to come to Christian organizations and talk because I'm really sad that Christian marriages are breaking up. And why are they breaking up? Well, because there's this thing in marriage called physics. This is what physics says. If I take my car and I drive up Lookout Mountain Road, you guys been that one? If I drive 50 miles an hour listening to K-Love, I'm still going to fall off the side of the road, right? Because there's physics. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a non-Christian. If you drive up Lookout Mountain at 50 miles an hour, you're going to fall off the side of the road and be like the two cars that are on the ditch that you can see there that have done that. It doesn't matter. You could do that. Well, marriage physics are the same. Christians who wait to have sex within the house of marriage have great sex and great marriages. Christians who do not wait to have sex, who are involved in pornography, who are involved in self-gratification, and then they get married, they're going to have the same problems as the non-Christians who do that. I have several friends who are non-Christians, and they have great, strong marriages. And you know what? They were virgins when they got married. God blesses anybody who obeys his word, whether they have a relationship with him or not. But if we're Christians and we're not obeying the laws of marriage physics, then we're going to have the same problems as the non-Christians. That's why the divorce rate's the same. Okay? So my thing to you is sex belongs inside the house of marriage. It just does. It's a yes. It's just a not now. Okay, how much time do I have? A little bit more? Okay. I'll end in about 5 minutes. How about that? I'm going to give you 3 examples from Scripture. 3 people. These are my 3 favorite Bible characters. The first one is David. David has an affair with Bathsheba, and the consequences are enormous. Their first baby, what happens? Dies. First baby dies, okay? His immorality was passed on to his son Amnon. Amnon lusted after his half-sister Tamar, and he raped her. Half-sister means they shared the same dad. Different moms, same dad. He lusted after his half-sister and raped her. Tamar's brother Absalom was so mad at Amnon that he killed him for doing that to his sister. And as a result, Israel divides as a nation. And it stays divided until 1948 when it becomes. And Israel has never had rest from that time. I mean, think about that. Is it possible that David's affair is still, that today's Israel is reaping the benefits of that? Is that possible? Samson. I like to talk about David because you want to know why? The scripture says that David was a man after God's own heart. And this is what I think about David. He did not intend to do that day. He did not. I would like to think that he did not wake up and go, yep, today's the day. I'm going to have an affair. I don't think he woke up and did that. I think it was an accident. An accident that he paid a price for. And the reason why I think it was an accident is because of how repentant he was. He was so repentant. His entire life, he felt remorse for that. I'd like to think, but look, it was an accident, and it reaped some major consequences. Remember this? I think that was an accident fire, right? I don't think she woke up that day and said, you know, I'd like to be responsible for Colorado's worst wildfire. I think it was an accident. But you will have accidents if you don't have a plan for your purity. Second was Samson. Samson was no accident. Samson's first wife was a pagan. His mom and dad said, don't marry her. He was like, whatever, I'm marrying her anyways. Then she totally disrespected him and told some people where he had some money hidden, and they stole all the money. And he was so ticked at her, he was like, forget you, I'll give you to my best friend. So he ditched her. Right after that, he went down and had sex with some prostitutes. On purpose. Then he meets Delilah. Did you know that about Samson? Did you know he had a first wife and a history of prostitutes before he met Delilah? Then he meets Delilah, and she was a walking wreck, right? And she persuaded him after, I mean, he like, Samson, she's like, oh, Samson, tell me about your secret. Tell me about your secret. And he doesn't tell her. And then the next day, oh, Samson, tell me about your secret. And she does it like 3 times. He has no clue. Talk about clueless, okay? So then he finally tells her the clue, and she cuts his hair, and his strength is gone, right? And he gets taken captive, and what's the first thing they rip out? His eyes. The lust of his eyes got him in trouble. That's ironic that his eyes got ripped out. Now, God was not mocked in that situation. At the very end of his life, Samson said, give me strength for one more thing. One more thing, let me knock down this temple, right? But guess what happened to Samson? He died. He does not have sons after him. You never hear of Samson's sons, right? There was no family. There was no wife. There was no sons. There was no heritage. He came, he saw, he died. End of Samson. God is not mocked in these situations. The last one is Joseph. Joseph showed self-control and discipline, and he learned to avert his eyes. Joseph, after he got captured as a slave, he was taken into Potiphar's house, and then he was elevated to second in command. Do you remember that? And Potiphar's wife thought Joseph was hot. And it says in Scripture that he was a good-looking man. Now, if Potiphar is first in command, is his wife going to be ugly? No, his wife is going to be the best-looking one of the land, and she is now after Joseph. Joseph had every opportunity to sin with Potiphar's wife, and what did he do? He ran away. Now, I don't take the running lightly. I'm a runner. I think God put running in there on purpose. Because if you are a guy in this room who struggles with pornography or self-gratification, here are some things to do. First, exercise. Run. Make yourself physically tired. Because if you are member, body, soul, spirit, if you are physically tired, you will not have the energy to self-gratify because you'll be so tired. Two, some of these things like self-gratification and pornography can be, there's sins that have to be, you have to fast. There are some sins in the Bible that require fasting. And so my encouragement to you is to fast. Fast a meal, fast two meals, work your way up to a 24-hour fast because the same discipline it takes to not look at pornography and to not self-gratify is the same discipline it takes to not eat for a guy. Okay? Fast. And find somebody that you can share that with. Find somebody that you trust, a youth leader. Find somebody that you want to talk to about that, especially in the church, because this is where you'll find the most grace. Find somebody to talk to about that. Girls, because this is an issue for men, this is why people harp on you for how you dress. It doesn't mean that you gotta like make all your clothes out of old curtains and wear denim jumpers and never look nice and you know stuff up to here and down to here. That's not what that means. It does mean though that you, a girl, and I'm gonna tell the girls will understand what I'm saying just like the boys did earlier. If you look in a mirror and you put a shirt on that you know is low cut and you know why you're doing it, that's when you need to change. When you consciously go, oh, I know who I'm going to be with, I'm going to put on a different shirt. That's when it's an issue because that's what shows in your heart. See what I'm saying? Also, if you have dads in your lives and they say, I'm not liking what you're wearing, I need you to go change, honor that. I put honor on there because honor your father and mother is the only commandment in Scripture with a promise. Does anybody know the promise? You will have a long, good life. And I promise you that your parents' plan for you is that. The house of marriage. Putting sex within the house of marriage. So I'm going to wrap this up with the same question, and I know it's heavy. Usually when I do this, this is like my third day, so I've done lots of fun things on day one and day two, and I didn't have time to do that today. It was just coming in and giving you information. But my question to you is this. Remember, as you think about this and leave, and this is a lot to process, and I think you just got to think about it, is in your tree of knowledge of good and evil, your tree of sexual purity, do you trust God? Because sex is the one thing that you only get to do the first time once. Make sense? The very first time you have sex, you are no longer a virgin. That's the end of it. So that's why it's so important that that first time be on your honeymoon and not self-gratifying, not with somebody in high school, not with a college boyfriend, but with your God-ordained husband. Make sense? I'm going to pray over you, and then I'm going to give the mic back. And I know it's heavy, and I know you have a lot to think about, but that's the purpose. Like I said, I think high school kids are really smart. I just think that you haven't been totally informed. Make sense?